Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when Cornelius observed the angel, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among them, from among those who waited on him continuously. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, Peter fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And it were all kinds of four-legged animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that we're all able to be here and we're all able to join together as brothers and sisters and as family. I pray that that this word is good, God, and that you speak. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be holy and acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So to give a bit of background, we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples before the ascension happens, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." And so this is the template that Acts is being written towards. So we saw when Jesus got lifted up into heaven that in chapters 2 and chapters 3 that the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and then Peter preaches and 3,000 are added to it during that time. And then we see later on in chapter 7 when Stephen is martyred for his faith, that the church separates and starts to go into Judea. And then finally we see with Philip, who ends up preaching, and there's a huge conversion with Samaria. And so right off the list, within very short amount of time, you know, 7 chapters, we see that Jerusalem is reached, Judea is reached, Samaria is reached. And And in chapter 10, we'll see that Peter will witness to the rest of the world, starting with Cornelius. And, you know, So I was trying to figure out how I was going to go about preaching this. And so instead of kind of going chronologically, we're going to parallel these two stories of Cornelius and kind of the way that, he was praying and the way that God responded to him, and also compare that and contrast that with the way that Peter also was praying and also heard from God. So that's kind of the format, and then we'll kind of bring it together at the end. But the topic of all of this is the habit of prayer and how to respond to God. Now, in verse 1, to give you a bit of background, Caesarea is about 36 miles away from Joppa, which is where Peter was, and Joppa's more toward the coast, so if you have Jerusalem here in the center, Joppa is probably about 35 miles northwest along the coast, and then 36 miles north of that is Caesarea. And so Caesarea is pretty far away from Jerusalem, and Caesarea was the hub for the Italian regiment, or while Rome occupied Jerusalem, that's where they were. They were stationed in Caesarea. And we see that Cornelius is a centurion, and as such, he would have been in charge of a century, or 100 people, roughly. And that would be kind of equivalent to an army officer, in just kind of our modern terms. And so, a few words that stick out to me. Cornelius is called devout and fearing. And I was kind of looking up those words and kind of what they mean. And the word devout is a combination of two words, and it breaks down into year and adore. And so devout is this idea of like adoring all year long. And the word for fearing is could also be translated exceedingly reverent. And so this is who we have as kind of the as the very first person, or the very first non-Jew that hears God's word. I absolutely love that his name is Cornelius, because I don't think you could have gotten anything like as far away from like a Jewish name as possible. Like Cornelius is an extremely like Latin name. And there's some really cool things about Cornelius. It said like one might say that he was kind of a Gentile of the Gentiles. He gave alms generously. And he prayed to God always, it says. So already, without, you know, not even being a Christian, not even being a Jew, we see that he's an extremely devout and faithful man. And he's not even tithing. He's just giving out of the abundance of his heart. So this man was following, was devoutly following Jewish customs. And we see during the beginning that he was praying during the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, if you have the NLT, that translates to about 3 p.m. So he was praying at 3 p.m. during the height of the day. Like, I don't know what you do during the week, but at 3 p.m., like, my head is, like, completely buried in an Excel spreadsheet somewhere. We see that because he was a centurion, let me back up just a little bit. So my brother is a first lieutenant in the army. He's an officer in the army. And with all of that, like, he is in charge of kind of the people underneath him. He's in charge of all the equipment that he's using. And on top of all of that, he's also, like, making sure that his superiors, like, trust him. And he's able to, like, properly translate the information from his superiors to the people below him. And my brother runs around like nobody's business, and literally only has one or two days before he starts the whole thing over again. And so that kind of would have been what Cornelius is doing. Yet we see that though Cornelius has this extremely busy life, he's taking time during the like critical hour of 3 o'clock and is spending time praying. Later on, we'll find out in verse 24 or so, I believe, that he was also fasting. So he was fasting until 3 o'clock, and he was also praying during this time. And so he was sacrificing not only his time, but he was also sacrificing his appetite and for his food. And it was there that this angel meets him. Starting in verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, Cornelius was afraid. What is it, Lord? So the angel said, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And then the angel who spoke to him departed. Cornelius then called two of his household servants and a devout soldier. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The angel tells Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. What an honor. We see here that even though Cornelius has made a prayer, or has made prayer a habit, that there was something specific that he was praying about. Again, he was fasting. And so we don't really know specifically what it was, but we can make a guess. See, Cornelius was praying in Caesarea. He wasn't in the temple. And as a non-Jew, he wasn't allowed in the temple. There was actually a separate court specifically for Gentiles. But he was unclean by Jewish standards. Let's see, where did I write that? It's interesting. But what I'd like to focus on a little bit, in Psalms 141:2, it says, we're told that our prayers are as sweet as incense. Psalm 141:2 says, let my prayers be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And in Revelation 8, verses 3 and 4, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood to the altar. He was giving much incense that he should offer it as prayers with all of the saints upon the golden altar, which before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. And so we see in this that prayer lifts up into the heavens and it smells as incense before the Father. Alms, prayer, sacrifice, they all please the Lord. And when I am coming before the Father, what am I sacrificing? What am I giving up? And we see the same thing with Peter. In verse 9, we see the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near their city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray at about the sixth hour, which would have been about noon. And he came and he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. See, Peter had this habit too. During lunchtime, he goes away, and chances are he wouldn't have eaten before then, and so he kind of does a little bit of a fast. And he's praying before God, seeking God. Let's see. Pastor Fausto spoke last week on how Peter was saying at Simon the Tanner's house, and how a tanner would have been ceremoniously unclean, and so it would have been outside of the city and relatively quiet. And so we see that Peter gets away from the distraction, gets away from the hubbub and the kind of the bustle of the world, and is spending time with the Father. But why can't I hear God? If someone is seeking God, like Cornelius, God will show himself. But there's a few things that like kind of get in our way when we're praying to God. Namely, distractions and sin. So on distractions, you guys don't need any remembrance of that. Like, this year has been crazy. Our world is crazy. There is so much noise, politically, spiritually, everything that's occurred. It kind of makes sense why we have so much entertainment to keep us distracted, to keep us from focusing on what's going on. I was doing a little bit of research, and for every minute that someone watches something on YouTube, there's 500 hours of content being uploaded. So there's just an incredible amount of distractions, whether that be YouTube, podcasts, Netflix, TV, books, sports, email, video games. Like, it's all there. Like, amusement is plentiful. It's all there. There is so much noise that fills our ears that they ring for hours and we can't even sleep. Early church monks back in the day, like right around the medieval times, they actually had corporate hours for prayer. They would pray six times a day, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3, 6, and midnight, I think. Hopefully that equals 6. You'll have to judge me on that. And we see early on, or we see in Psalm 119, 164, it says, 7 times a day I'll praise you. That's a lot of prayer. So are you saying, Caleb, then, that I should be praying 6 times a day? Should I be praying every single hour? You know, I have a little Casio that beeps every hour. Should I be praying then? Kinda. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, never stop praying. There's a monk by the name of Brother Lawrence who wrote The Practice of Prayer. And in it, he says, above all, get in the habit of often thinking about God and forget him the least that you can. And I think like that right there is extremely pivotal. Like, I often think that, you know, I always go back to like Genesis, when it says that God spoke to Adam in the cool of the morning and how there was that time separate. We also see that with Jesus, where he got up before the sun even rose and spent time with the Father. And that, I mean, that even translates later on with David, where he says, morning and evening will I praise you, and with Daniel, which was part of the reason why Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, was because he made an extreme habit of praying. He prayed 9 a.m., lunch, and normally, I think 3 p.m., which would have been about the evening sacrifices. So all of these people made praying and talking to God a priority. Have we made talking to God a priority? Have I made talking to God a priority? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Whoever you hang out with most, you become like. And I think that even translates into the content and the media that we consume. With this whole time, you know, I've been more isolated than I've been in a long time. And so oftentimes it's not the people that I'm interacting with, it's more the content that I'm consuming that I'm becoming most like. So whether that be YouTube, podcasts, Netflix, even books to some extent. But everyone is preaching a message. myself not excluded. But who are we getting our information from? Who are we talking with the most? How can we hear God with so many distractions? We need to remove ourselves and spend time with Jesus alone. Cornelius was following this tradition, and that's where God met him. Also, there's sin. Sin keeps us from hearing God. Psalm 66:18 says that if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save, nor his ear heavy that it can't hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he won't hear. And that's, well, I'll talk a little bit about that, because it was through Jesus Christ that our sins were forgiven. But if we're holding iniquity in our hearts, it's kind of like when I wake up and it's an extremely cloudy day. The sun's still there, but the clouds are in my way, and I'm unable to see the sun. So I think in that kind of regard, like, what are we doing to remove those clouds? What are we trying to, like, ask God, like, God, what is keeping me from you? And how can we sacrifice some of that time and to become closer to the Father? Because ultimately, like, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ and the relationship with God. That's why Jesus died, is to restore that relationship so that we're able to speak with the Father. You know, we don't have to go through an intermediary. It's just with him. And then it also needs to be a practice. Romans 12:2 says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed daily. And it's kind of like working out. You know, I can be really disciplined and work out for a really long time, but when I stop, that's when the muscle kind of starts to atrophy. That's when I start to pack on weight. Like, there needs to be a daily discipline and a habit in talking with God, and a joy too. So let's see. Continuing on in verses 17, I'm going to be reading from 17 until 34. Actually, I'll start with verse 15. And a voice spoke to Peter again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken into heaven again. Now while Peter waited within himself, or wondered within himself, what the vision could have that he saw meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. A quick aside. Listen to how these men talk about Cornelius. Oh, man. I want to be a man who, like, when someone talks about me, they say that thing. Like, oh, man, like, he's a just man, one who fears God. Anyway, 23. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting with them and had called together his relatives, and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And he talked with him and went in and found many who had been come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent out. I ask then, for what reason have you sent me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered by in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded to you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. So how do we respond to God when we do hear God's voice? I really like this contrast between Peter and Cornelius. And I think both men like exemplify like two different ways to respond. Cornelius, you know, being a centurion, being a subordinate to his superiors, responded the same way that someone of authority, as someone in authority would have. Yeah, he says absolutely, and he does it. So the angel says, go send men to Joppa. And Cornelius immediately sends men to Joppa. And then we see later on that Peter hears a voice from heaven, and he says, go take and eat. And Peter says, oh no, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And this happens, and a voice spoke to him, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. And I get a real kick out of that. I love the fact that, you know, last week, Pastor Fausto talked about how Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, raises Tabitha from the dead. And before that, Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, makes a lame man walk. And before that, Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, preaches, and 3,000 men are saved. And with all of this, see, we actually see Peter's heart just a little bit. I'll come back to that. But we see here that Peter still has doubts, and Peter is still Peter. If you look in verses 13 and 15, at least in my Bible, those verses are red when the voice is being spoken to. And later on, we'll see that there's another voice that's the Holy Spirit. And so Peter knew the difference between these two voices. There's the Holy Spirit voice, and then there's this voice of Jesus. And I think the key to understanding that it's the voice of Jesus is that it happens three times. Where Peter, in the end of John, Jesus says, do you love me?
And Peter says, of course I do. And Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, of course I do. And it's that third time, which echoes the three times that that Peter said, I don't know Jesus. And I think in all of this, like, it's so, I love it because it shows that even though Peter did these incredible things in the Holy Spirit, he's still Peter. You know, we're not, when we read these words, we're talking about men that existed, men that had issues, men that had problems, women that had, like, we're talking about real men and women of faith that truly existed, and we're on the same playing field because we serve the same God. Yeah, I also wanted to say that Peter was so used to hearing God's voice that he argues with him, which I think is interesting. I don't think that's the right way to do it, but you know, that's not too off base from, you know, Moses has discourse with God, Job has discourse with God. And I think let's understand and understanding and respecting who's talking to you. That's extremely important, but there's also like being truthful and being genuine and praying truthfully in your heart. I think the goal is to be like Cornelius and have immediate obedience. But because Cornelius was in the military, he was used to taking orders. And so that came pretty, standard. We see in the scriptures, or we see in this, that Peter was a little bit more interested in following the law than following the Lord. Peter says, not so, Lord, in verse 14, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And I think there's like something really, like, he's like, there's a bit of a presence there. There's a bit of this idea like, hey, I'm a Jew. I'm supposed to keep myself separate. Instead of understanding and hearing that, like, this is the Lord. This, the Lord is saying, hey, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Let's see. I think the NLT says something like, don't call what I have made clean unclean. Let's see. Yeah. And yeah, just kind of the way that Peter talks about this later on, he comes to the house of Cornelius and says, therefore I came verse 28. Then Peter said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Dang it. He got really close. But I don't know if I would have said it to that kind of that way to that person's face. Like, hey, I'm not supposed to be here, but God told me not to call anyone unclean. It's like, wait a minute. But look at the way that Cornelius responds. And I think this is so cool. I absolutely love this. Cornelius in verse 30 says, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and then at the ninth hour I prayed, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So in this time, we see that Cornelius had been waiting for 4 days in between, like, him meeting Peter. And that kind of made me reflect back and think about Daniel, who prayed and did a light fast for 21 days waiting for God. And I think about this and I see Cornelius, and this man had heard God's voice, had been told, hey, go send men to Joppa. And then he waited patiently for 4 days. Like, I think it's difficult when God gives you this promise, you know, like you had been told this thing will happen, and then you have to wait. And like in waiting, that's extremely hard. But we see kind of the right way to respond. We see in verse 24, now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. So during this waiting period, Cornelius was preparing. And I've been thinking about the difference in preparing versus striving, and kind of the right way to respond. When you have... what is it? When God has told you something, I think it's really easy to go out, because God has told you that thing, to go out and make it yourself. Like, go out and conquer it. And there's that striving. But instead, it's supposed to be this preparing and this waiting on the Lord. I know that's really hard for me, at least. Let's see. And what's really cool is that in this, like, had Cornelius run down to go talk to Peter himself, it would have just been a discussion between him and Peter. But we see, it says, had called together his relatives and close friends. So as Cornelius is waiting, he's telling those around him, hey, come to my house, come wait and see. An angel spoke to me, and someone named Peter is going to tell me something really important. Oh yeah, I was going to talk about that. What I think is really interesting in, like, there's so many little pieces in here, but like, the angel didn't tell Cornelius about Jesus. The angel told Cornelius to go find Peter. And so it's our job, like, God uses sinful men and women to go spread the word. It's not an angel's job, it's our job. And that's kind of exciting, you know? So, yeah. And because we see that Cornelius, his relatives and his close friends are in this house, when Peter preaches the word, later on, this whole house becomes saved. And so it's through the faith of this one man, this preparing of this one man, and the response by Peter that the Lord is glorified and the Gentile church begins. Yeah. He that has begun a good work in you is faithful and just to complete it. And it's that preparation, and it's that that expectancy, and waiting for him, and waiting for God to fulfill it, and not to strive. Striving for me is really difficult, because I want to go out and make my own claim and make my own world, but striving can be manipulation, trying to turn the favor in my own way. When we hear the Lord, how do we respond? Without doubt, and to tell friends, and to tell those closest to us. But Caleb, I'm no Peter. I'm not Cornelius. Yeah, neither am I. But the same God that dwelled in Peter, and the same God that's going to soon dwell in Cornelius, is the same God that dwells in you and I. But Caleb, these men were special. Yeah, maybe. But again, the God that lived in these men is the same God that lives in you and I. So when I hear the voice of the Lord, when I hear that prodding in my heart, hey, go talk to that guy. Hey, go tell him that Jesus loves you. That Jesus loves him. Like, how do I respond? Do I respond in, like, how do I respond to that? There are about 5 men I've encountered in my life that when I'm with them, I say, wow, that man knows God. And I desire to be a man like that. I desire to be a man that knows the voice of the Lord intimately. Like, it's absolutely baffling to me that Peter knows the difference between this voice and the Holy Spirit. Like, wow, that's cool. But intimacy only comes through years of deep, connected relationship. It's the same with any other relationship. You know, if you have a girlfriend or a husband or a wife or a boyfriend, like, you can't just spend a little bit of time with them and expect to understand all of them. Like, you can't have a deep relationship with someone unless you're spending long hours with them. And it's the same with God and you and I. Are we spending, like, are we like Peter? Are we like Cornelius? Are we spending time with the Father? Are we sacrificing our time? I absolutely love that Cornelius gave abundantly out of his heart, prayed, and was fasting, and was eagerly expecting the Father. Like, that's a standard. And I don't know if I can hit it, but I'd like to one day. Do you eagerly desire to hear God's voice? And when you do hear it, how do you respond? Are you headed in that direction? Are you headed in the direction to hear God's voice intimately? And what are you spending your time on? With whom are you spending your time? Because it shows. So let's all take time this next week and just analyze how we spend our time. One thing I'm going to do that, like, during this kind of course, like, I spend way too much time on YouTube, way too much time on entertainment. And it was through all this, I realized, like, I need to take advantage of just being with Jesus. Like, we're in a season that's a little bit more quiet than we like. We're a little bit more isolated than we'd like. But that isolation, that separation, is a perfect gateway to be connected with the Father and to seek Him continuously. Don't give up. Make it a habit. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And God will bless that. Expect to hear God tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you for my whole family here. I thank you for your Son, for His death and resurrection, and the fact that because of Jesus, we're able to talk with you, to commune with you. I pray as we go out this week, God, that we hear your voice and that we make time, God, to hear your voice. Show us in our life what we can give up to get closer to you. And show us, God, yeah, let's just hear your voice, I pray. I love you. You with my family. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.